Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. You know, Sandy, you know, things are changing. Forgot. I've been following Herschel Walker. Now, I have to say,
you know, we're following, talking about Henry Kissinger, one of the smartest guys in the world at age 99. Like I said off the air, he was such an, he was a professor in, at Harvard when I was there, and he was quite an egomaniac, a very smart guy. And I suspect one of the reasons he's worried about artificial intelligence is it might be smarter than Henry Kissinger. But but what a segue from Henry Kissinger to Herschel Walker.
You know, I remember Henry Kissinger, Richard Nixon.
Yeah, he was Secretary of State under Richard Nixon.
That's what, 1971.
Henry's the one with Kissinger. Henry's the one with Nixon who opened up relations with China in 1971.
Yeah. Right. And you and I remember that. and he's 99 years old.
Yeah.
But anyway, what I will say to you is Herschel Walker is dumber than a rock. Now, I'm a fan of Herschel Walker.
And that's actually not fair to a rock. That's the Society of Rocks is going to be calling in and complaining about that comparison.
But here's what I don't get, Sandy. You know, Republicans know that they've had to have heard him talk and communicate. They've had a long campaign. They knew exactly what and who he was. And yet they put tens of millions of dollars on the line to elect him as one of the most powerful people in the world. And I don't care what it is, every time he opens his mouth, Sandy, it's something that just a 10-year-old is brighter than he is. I'm just...
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think it's just a sign of how cynical, particularly the parties have come, but maybe the Republican Party mostly, about the people who inhabit something like the U.S. Senate. All they want is someone who knows how to push the Republican lever each time the vote gets called. They vote the party line. I guess they think that Mitch McConnell can provide instructions to each of the members of the Republican caucus on how to vote, and they can do that. And I guess they figure that even someone like Herschel Walker can follow orders. He probably was able to run most of the plays that were called in the huddle, and they figure that's all he needs. He can listen to the quarterback and run the play. And it's unbelievable, actually, because if the people of Georgia have decided that they are that partisan and that they're willing to elect somebody that they understand to be as entirely limited as Herschel Walker is, I mean, I'm certain that if he gets elected, that historians would be unable to find a prior U.S. senator who was elected to office who seemed to be as limited in his capabilities as Herschel Walker.
Yeah, and the fact that he's entered into a runoff, people knowing, hearing him speak, knowing who and what he is, and yet still supporting that is where I'm really... stumped, Ed, Sandy, and maybe it's the way you just explained it. It doesn't matter who the person is.
Well,
he's one of us.
In Wisconsin, Ron Johnson has a lot more going for himself than Herschel Walker, but Ron Johnson was an inferior candidate. I think he was viewed nationally as a weak candidate, and the Republicans of Wisconsin decided they'd rather send their guy, regardless of his merits, rather than allowing a Democrat to go. And this goes back to something I've talked about on earlier shows, which is this notion that partisan politics has come down to people thinking that they're saving the fabric of America with their party, and that the other party will destroy the fabric of America, and therefore the ends justify the means. We must elect Republicans so that those Democrats can't tear apart the fabric of America. That's the outlook, and I think there probably is some of the opposite outlook ongoing as well.
You know, Sandy, I just don't know how you can ever fix that, but maybe Cassandra from Middleton knows. Hey, welcome to the show, Cassandra. Thank you very much for listening. You have a question or comment?
Yes, I do, Earl. Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I wanted to call and I guess reprimand you on Herschel Walker. Now, he is not the most eloquent speaker. I will
concede that. No kidding. His issue is not just lack of eloquence.
However, Earl, I want you to think about members of your family, your friends, especially males in the black community. Many of the males, especially older males, speak in the manner in which Herschel Walker talks.
No, I'm not talking about his diction. His issue is not his diction. It's what comes out of his mouth.
And, you know, Earl, I think that race in Georgia is a flip. And
that's the problem. I mean, you've heard Raphael Warnock.
I mean, Cassandra, what is it that Herschel Walker has said that lets you understand what his positions are on issues? Tell me an issue. The only one I've heard him talk about, and it's confused me a great deal, is abortion and his notion that there should be no exceptions, except then it's impossible to decipher how he describes that position. But which of his statements have allowed you to decipher what it is that he, how it is he stands on any particular issue?
Okay, I'll give you one, and I don't necessarily agree with him on this, but he did clarify it, and that is student loans. He felt that there should not be any student loan forgiveness because the debt was incurred by someone else. And so you're asking the person who did not take on that debt to pay for the student loan that someone else willingly signed. Now, I believe the issue about student loan forgiveness is a little more complicated, but he did articulate a position. But what I want to say is this. The black community is very frustrated with the Democratic Party right now. And we saw that here in Wisconsin with the Senate race with Mandela Barnes, losing by 27 or 28,000 votes. He could have gotten that in Milwaukee. And the Democratic Party, for a very long time, they have ran a platform of, here's what I can do for you. What the party needs to do is start listening. And the Democratic Party needs to come to black folks and ask, what do you need? And that is the entire problem. They're passing legislation that many blacks, it's not a high priority. It's something they would like, but it's not a high priority. Herbert Walker, I believe, is going to be a protest vote against the Democratic Party. And that's why I think it's just so close right now.
So, Cassandra, let me say this, because you said a couple things. And if the focus on Herschel Walker and his issue with people having to pay their debt, there's so many other issues that are so critically important to this nation and to the world that Herschel Walker is not lucid enough to even discuss. I've listened to him intently, and now I kind of find that you are really kind of have an issue with the Democratic Party. So do I. And people of color. And it's been that way for a long time. People of color feel like the Democratic Party has been taking for granted our votes. And I would agree with you on that. But I don't see anywhere where the Republican Party has said or done anything that they're going to do anything differently. As a matter of fact, they're doing more things that are more harmful and hurtful.
This is an outsider, not a non-black, talking about something that probably is outside my purview, but my sense is that the Republican Party's cynicism to pick a black man like Herschel Walker and to bring him forward and say, vote for this black man, not that black man, when the one they bring forward, Herschel Walker, is a stooge. He is, if at most, a stooge for the Republican Party. He's an ambitious person who's had a carrot hung out in front of him saying, you want to be a U.S. senator? Move back to Georgia. The man lived in Houston. This is a recruited candidate. And it's such a cynically recruited candidate, a person without any qualifications to be a U.S. senator, other than, I guess, being black. I think it's a terrible insult, and I think it's a terrible insult to African Americans, quite frankly.
Well, Cassandra Sandy is, I think, 100% on point when you look at the fact that Raphael Warnock, whether you know he's a Democrat, true enough. But if you stood him, and when you stand him next to Herschel Walker, whether a Democrat or Republican does not matter. The one man is an intelligent being. The other man is, as Sandy stated, just a stooge who can't even I'm sorry, go ahead.
Earl, can I say something?
Yes.
Yeah, can I say something?
Yes.
This is part of the problem where the black leadership in the Democratic Party is making a huge mistake when they talk about Warnock's education. You know, we have elevated individuals in the black community because of their educational pedigree. However, having a college degree does not make you any more intelligent than someone without a college degree. And so it smacks of, you know, of bourgeoisism. So all I'm saying is, if Walker wins, I will not be surprised. And the Democratic Party, they're going to have to go back and find a new way to communicate with the black working
Cassandra, Can I get you to hang on just through the break?
Yeah, I think actually you're onto something there, Cassandra. I would agree with you that the Democrats have jumped the rail in terms of how to communicate with America.
Cassandra, can I get you to hang on just for a couple minutes?
Sure.
All right. Yeah. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. It's a great conversation, and I'm glad to have it with you. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Mondays. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams and Cassandra from Middleton. I thank you for holding on. You really kind of hit a third rail. And, you know, you mentioned a lot of different things. The one thing about, you know, Democrats and why 28,000 less people of color who could have come out and supported Mandela Barnes, and you think that it's because Democrats are not delivering on the promises that they said that they would make to people of color. That has been the case for decades, and you know, even when Barack Obama was president of the United States, the things that they talked about that he would deliver, he couldn't. No individual is going to be able to deliver the things that are needed to address the ills and the issues of people of color. But I think when you make the comparison that It's the fact that Warnock has a college degree. You know, Sandy said it rightly. So does Herschel Walker. The difference is that Warnock is involved in his community at the grassroots level. And I think, Cassandra, that's where the differences lie. If you've got Democratic candidates or elected officials who are involved at the grassroots level, then they get big respect from me. If they aren't involved on the grassroots level, and unfortunately, not enough of them are, then what you're saying is absolutely correct.
Well, I think it's an interesting problem to diagnose. I think it's an interesting problem to diagnose because things have not been accomplished by the Democrats. One of the problems I have with the Democrats is that they have compartmentalized their constituents into a colored patchwork quilt, and they sort of taken their various constituents for granted. Other than patching them together from the standpoint of organizing them politically, they maybe haven't delivered as much to them as they've promised. One of the reasons they haven't is maybe because of the fact that they haven't organized themselves based on it. But another reason, and a very significant reason, is that the Republican Party has made it absolutely impossible at the national level for the Democratic Party to ever accomplish anything except when the Democratic Party has a majority of both houses and the presidency, so that the Republican Party has stood in the way of almost every single policy that could help the black community. And one of the things that is sort of, I guess, makes me wonder about the whole process is that it seems like the ultimate protest, the ultimate cutting off our nose to spite our face, to decide that it's a worthwhile protest to vote someone like Herschel Walker into office, who we can be certain will vote the party line of the Republicans in the Senate, and the Senate and the Republicans have shown absolutely zero potential for being the party that will bring forward, for instance, universal child daycare, that will bring forward universal availability of health care, that will bring forward cheap education for all those who can qualify for any kind of education, whether it be vocational or not.
Support unions.
And can support unions. Will do the things that are necessary, not just for blacks, but for people who occupy the socioeconomic station in life that many blacks occupy. And so, sure, protests are fine, but I think it's much better to have effective political action that moves in the direction of actually accomplishing something. And what is very clear is that the ability to move the Republican Party in the direction of any one of those fundamental initiatives is nil, absolutely nil.
And Herschel Walker certainly won't be the person, if there is a person, that can make that adjustment and have that discussion and make them change their views on it. Cassandra?
Well, you know what? I don't disagree with anything you all have to say, but what I will point out is that there is this divide between the elected officials and also voters on the ground. I don't know if either one of you have had a chance to read. It is called The Onyx Report, and it's by a black professor, Dr. Hassan Johnson. And he put together a black male political agenda. And he has 14 bullet points for the black male political agenda. And now the first point he talks about is family court reform. And oftentimes, our family court is very punitive against black males in terms of custody and also and their ability to pay. Now, Raphael Warnock, who was going through a divorce, he could lead on this issue, but he has not. He has been silent on family court reform. And so what my point is, I may not agree with the people who want to support Warnock, but I can understand why they're doing it. And it would not surprise me if Herschel Walker wins. And that will send a powerful message to the Democratic Party.
A man who's walked away from his responsibilities with children that he brought into the world? What's worse?
You know what, Earl? The black voter may not care about that.
I'm a black voter.
What concerns them is quality of life issues.
I'm a black voter.
Herschel Walker's relation.
Cassandra, I think you're right that the party, both parties, and the Democratic Party being the one that would be the one that people would look to actually accomplish these things, has not done a good job of speaking to the group.
There's no question about that.
But it is true as well that the Republican Party, the party that would be the vote of objection to the Democrats, has absolutely no probability whatsoever of accomplishing it. So I guess I would.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Whittle. And Sandy, that was. Cassandra really rang some bells.
I think that she opened a bunch of issues that I think are worthy of discussion, because it's funny. You can look at the problem she identifies in a couple of different ways. Yes. The black population has not received the political treatment that they need in order to realize their potential, okay? But the way it's discussed has a great deal to do with that, I think, and also the way it's been organized. I think that the Democratic Party has a problem in that they rely on the black vote without delivering enough to the black vote. However, their capacity to deliver to the black vote is based upon the fact that the other party is going to block anything and everything that would be an initiative that would help that black population, because of the way the political tea leaves have been set up. The Democratic Party has been speaking to its constituents as a patchwork quilt of ethnic groups instead of speaking to it on a socioeconomic basis. The Democrats could be speaking to the black population at the same time that they speak to the rural poor white population in Wisconsin Rapids if they talked about issues on a generic issue-wide issue basis, child daycare, these universal health care. These issues like that. But when we start verbalizing the discussion, Cassandra steps in the same trap. She wants to talk about the black population and how it is that the politicians are not luring the blacks out to vote by offering them what they need to offer them and then delivering. You know, the history of political machinery that has worked is just the opposite of what she describes. Tammany Hall, back in the day, the Daley machine in Chicago, those the political constituents of those political machines voted nearly 100%. That was what those machines were all about. They turned out the vote. And when they turned out the vote, they were entitled to be listened to. What they wanted was offered to them because it was given to them because you needed to do that to get that vote. And so the difference is that we now have a black vote that talks like Cassandra does about how it is that they need to be lured out to vote by getting promised things which then get delivered to them, when in fact what that group should be doing to be a political machine is unifying themselves so that they always deliver the vote and they step forward and demand what they need in order to get that black vote.
So I would say this before we go to the phone lines, and our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. So the black community and voting, it's unfortunate, but the black community, for the most part, a large segment, doesn't believe, whether it's the Democrats or the Republicans, that anything's going to change for them. Because under Democratic leadership or Republican leadership, things have not changed for the black community. And at the root of what blacks are saying, and maybe even in protest, is politics is not going to change what has happened to people of color in this country. Because if it would have, then we would have seen some of the changes and not still deal with some of the factors that put black people in the condition that they're in, even still going on today. Lending practices, discrimination in work environments, schools that are not equal. And all of the, listen, if anybody other than black people were suffering the carnage in their cities, dying like they're dying through even at the hands of one another, it would be a major focus and a major concern, and the nation would do something about it. But this continues unabated, and it's almost as if, well, it can't be done. Nothing we can do, nothing about it. We're going to allow it to continue to happen. The fact that the schools are in the condition that they're in, and the finger can be pointed at, you know, a system, a Milwaukee public school system, instead of all the factors around it that impact and affect the children who are not getting a fair and equitable opportunity at a fair life in this country. Democrats or Republicans, neither have fixed that.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. But I simply assert that Stacey Abrams has it right. Stacey Abrams has built her whole operation in Georgia about getting that vote out, making sure they come out to vote so that they can wield the political power and influence that they might be able to wield. And yes, there's obviously racial undertones to this, and how do we overcome that? Well, we can overcome it sociologically, but we also need to overcome it politically. And from a political standpoint, I think that rather than asking that people come and solicit them, I think that the black vote ought to make itself into a vote that actually delivers and can go and make demands.
So the black vote,
making demands from a passive standpoint, saying we might not vote unless you, is a much different kind of a formula for political success than saying we're going to vote, and if you don't toe the line on these following issues, you're going to find that we're going to vote against you.
So the black vote has delivered historically for Democrats constantly.
Yes.
And so Democrats have wound up winning national elections based solely on the fact that Democrats have come out historically.
But one of the problems with the Democrats is they decided to rely on that, okay, without necessarily delivering to that, because they haven't been speaking to socioeconomic classes in a manner that whole strategy has caused the political map to look blue in urban areas, red in rural areas, and purple in suburban areas. And that whole formula is failing the Democrats because it's failing to bring together the socioeconomic views of the people in Wisconsin Rapids and the people on Center Street at 27th Street.
So people of color in this society, including Hispanic, Latino, who have voted along the lines of Democrats as well, you just know that, you know, the other option is the Republican Party. And we know that the Republican Party has not supported many of the things that we need to happen in order to make things happen equitably in this society. What am I talking about? So You talk about a Republican Party that's still anti-union. I was going to talk about this later on in the show, but only 2% of people in North Carolina are unionized. The South, very few, 3% of the South is unionized. Well, come on. The reason that people are in the conditions they are in is because the political system has not been able to make the things happen, Sandy, to give everybody a fair and equitable opportunity in the society. Now, it's all we have, right? There's only two parties. You talked about many times about how there should be more, but we only have two. And when I listen to Republicans and I listen to what they talked about they wanted to do this time around, lower the taxes, you know, give tax breaks again to the wealthy, not willing to address any of the issues. Do Democrats have problems in the way they deliver? Yes. I think this time around, though, they tried. With Joe Biden and his Build Back Better plan, inside of that, that not one Republican voted for, were these opportunities that you talked about that would have addressed a lot of the ills that both rural people, poor rural people, and poor people in central cities feel. But Joe Manchin, Kyrsten Sinema, and 100% of the Republican Party said no. And so that's why, you know, I have to look at the 100% of the Republican Party that said no to creating those daycare opportunities and other opportunities for people who struggle and who are poor, than the two senators, Democratic senators, who voted no. Hey, Tom from L.A. Tom, thank you very much for waiting. You say what?
Hey, Earl. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. Second, the Republican Party is doing exactly what they always do, which is they put up candidates that are, you know, like a Sarah Palin or a
Herschel Walker. Yeah.
And they picked every kind of negative stereotype about black people it possibly could. And then this becomes more about protecting, I guess, their own, and puts it into factions rather than talking about in the media. And even the regular, you know, Democratic people out there that are on social media and everything that make fun of Herschel Walker, that's not a good thing, because what that does is it makes people want to protect them, especially, I would say, on the Democratic side. They actually will start going, oh, my God, I got to, you know, protect this person, especially maybe in the black community. But the thing is, this was all part of the plan. What Democrats should be talking about are policies. How is it Herschel Walker and Raphael Warnock stand on a woman's right to choose? How is it do they stand on daycare for children? How is it that they stand on tax breaks for billionaires? And then they need to talk about the fact that you know, if you get Herschel Walker in there, we're going to be right where we were with Sinema and Manchin. We needed that. We needed the Mandela Barnes vote so we could actually get something moved in Congress. I don't think people understand Congress. I don't think people understand separation of powers. I don't think people understand how it is that you have to have more votes on one side than the other side in order to get legislation passed that's going to change your life and become more like an FDR Democratic Party, which includes unionization and everything else that goes along with it. So I really think that it's not that I don't see so much that the Raphael Warnocks and people like that are saying negative things about Herschel Walker and in terms of his intelligence or whatever it is, but the people themselves and the media, whether it's the corporate media or whatever, are saying things about, let's talk about his policies. And let's talk about how the fact is that these policies are actually going to harm the very people that are voting. And these people need to stop voting against their best interests. Like your Souls to the Pole Reverend said, the power that people have, they have no idea the power that they have.
So Tom, let me say this. I know in conversations that I have with blacks who struggle in the society, they to get them to think that things are going to change for them, they when blacks came out overwhelmingly for Barack Obama and were told the first time that if you just vote, that there's going to be this major change in your life. The numbers of blacks who came out that first time around were record-breaking. But nothing changed in their lives because, again, Republicans were there to block every turn. Everything that he attempted to do was blocked. And early on, there were other Democrats, the first 2 years, who didn't support him. More centrist Democrats.
Well, and let's be real about this. That comes back to money in politics. Because the Democratic Party also is bought somewhat by money in politics.
But for whatever those reasons are, these are the reasons why people have basically thrown their hands up, and it's a defeatist kind of a situation that Sandy is stating.
That's exactly what the billionaire class wants. They want apathy. Why do they spend billions of dollars on elections?
I think
people need to ask themselves.
I think the heart of this, I know we're going to a break, I think the heart of this, though, is the Democrats' inability to reach out to rural America and to the socioeconomic class there that would have a unified interest with those in the city who might be of color, so that the Republicans, right now the Republicans have a grip on a whole group of people who are voting against their interests.
Voting against their own interests.
Against their own interests. And what we have then, obviously, is a failure.
Hold that thought. We got to go to a break. Tom, hang on. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. And this is a subject that we are having that I think is long overdue. And it's a subject that may, you know, hurt some feelings. But the truth is, it's what it is, and we don't get to a solution unless we have these conversations, which is what you've always talked about.
Yeah, I think Cassandra kind of hit the nail on the head in terms of identifying some issues. And I think a pivotal problem here is that the Republican Party is now able to take for granted a bunch of people in rural America who vote against their own interests. And why is that? I think it's because the Democratic Party has failed in its messaging to reach out to those people and get them to understand what they're doing and why. And the reason, one of the reasons for that, is the Democrats continue to discuss all problems in terms of ethnicities or things that are peculiar to a particular group of people, rather than speaking to issues that are broadly based on socioeconomic circumstances or are broadly based on the need for respect and tolerance, okay? If we talked about things broadly instead of constantly talking about particular groups that need to be specially protected, I think we would get a different reaction. I think the people of Wisconsin Rapids have, in some respects, been repelled by the Democratic Party because the Democratic Party keeps talking about economic problems in coincident and coincident with problems of race, okay? And clearly there are poverty problems that are tied to race and are tied to racism, but I think that the people of Wisconsin Rapids are more racist today in all likelihood than they were 20 years ago because of their view that the socioeconomic problem they share with the people inside the city of Milwaukee is only getting the political attention it deserves within the city of Milwaukee.
So let me respond in this manner. The people who live in Wisconsin Rapids have not always had the socioeconomic issues and problems that they're dealing with today. People of color who live in the city have.
No, there's no comparison to the socioeconomic history of why they have the situation they have. I simply am asserting that the Democrats would do better to speak to people who share socioeconomic problems and talk to them about why universal child daycare is a really important thing for all of them, regardless of why they're in that circumstance today. Because there's no question, the history of Wisconsin Rapids is a blue-collar union history that suffers now because they lost these quality jobs. Now, in some respects, that's the same in Milwaukee, but we are several generations marooned from that time. You know, you are one of the people who benefited from right. that blue-collar unionization of Milwaukee that has a lot of the current people who live in Milwaukee living there today.
But the fact of the matter is, as you stated, that's 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so the people who benefited from that are my age, and they're gone. But that whole group of people over the last 30 years have not benefited from that, and that's why Milwaukee is in the condition that it's in, one of the worst places in the entire nation for people of color to live.
Absolutely.
And so when I hear about the issues that people in Wisconsin Rapids and other people face, I get that. But again, I'm saying they voted Republican. What are they going to get for their vote?
Well,
okay, because they certainly should have to say, okay, we've got Ron Johnson back in, right? We're going to have control over the Congress. They should expect something in return. So if they don't get anything in return, you know, when are they going to understand that voting for the Republicans, I mean, is a protest vote?
Well, my view is getting more and more coincident with Tom's, in that the progressive platform of universal daycare and health care, you know, getting the European sort of social safety net in place, is the reason, I think, why the Democrats and why we've lost the vote of people who should be voting for their interests, because government is neither promising these things nor providing these things, and neither party is delivering it. But I don't think the Democratic Party is doing anywhere near a good enough job of messaging it and delivering to the people the message that could make it happen. Because if that vote in Wisconsin Rapids became fragile for the Republicans, and fragile because those people were demanding universal child daycare, we would get universal child daycare, because the Republicans could no longer use the filibuster rules to block that kind of legislation without knowing that they were going to lose Senate votes and right.
My response to that is, Sandy, I agree, but that's what Build Back Better was. The Democrats under Joe Biden were attempting to address that. 100% of Republicans said no.
Well, I think number one, the messaging was
hi, guys.
That's Tom?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, 100% of the Republican Party voted no to that.
Yes, and I think it had to do with the messaging. I think that they had Build Back Better, but they never really explained its parts until the 11th hour. And the kind of child daycare they had built into it was a tax credit. I don't think many people really favor tax credits as the way to deliver child daycare, because what you're delivering to people then is money, and you're expecting them to spend it in the right way, but there's no promise that they will. And I don't think there was any proof that having that tax credit would necessarily have achieved child daycare.
So, Sandy, And Ron from Milwaukee, Hang On, and others, I would say that, you know, or you guys can call back. We're going to go to a break, but make sure you call back in a couple minutes. I would say, Sandy, that this is a heck of a discussion that we're going to continue over on the other side. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. It's Monday with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.
You and I, as simple as pie, baby. Such a sure thing, such a sure thing, such a sure thing, such a sure thing.
Got a swim back. Respect you like a friend. Respect you like a lover.